What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning! Happy Monday. Welcome to the Rob Brown Show's Under Radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Gonna keep it a buck with you. The football weekend was phenomenal. I forgot today was Monday entirely. The alarm went off this morning. Well, start with this. So we made a huge mistake when we got our dog, who's a very sweet dog, but she's a very affectionate dog. And we made the mistake of when she was young and cute and we liked her, of letting her sleep in the bed. And she has taken that to mean not just that, but like, you know, I've had dogs I let sleep in the bed, but they sleep down at the foot of the bed. You know what I mean? Not this dog. This dog wants to put her head on the piddle and be right in the middle of us, which is very annoying most of the time. So last night, the lady friend and I, like, yo, we gotta untrain the dog. We gotta get the dog out of here. Like, the dog can't sleep in the bed anymore because she does this thing where she puts her back against me and then she puts her leg against the missus and she, like, does like a whole big stretch. You know, the big stretch. Except for by the end of the night when we wake up in the morning.
So she's not a poodle.
No, I mean, she's only like 25 pounds. She's not a big dog, but she's not a small dog either. And so by the end of the night, we wake up. I'm on like this much of the edge of the bed. The wife is 4 feet away from me on this much of the... And then there's a 25-pound dog that is commandeered like the middle, legitimately 60% of the bed. And then, like... She likes to sleep under. She's got that wolf in her. She likes to sleep under the blanket till it gets too hot. Then she wants to be out of the blanket, but then it gets cold, so she'll go back. She'll do this like 9 times a night. So I told the wife, I'm like, no, dog's got to go back to sleeping on her. We got her this nice luxury, like memory foam dog bed down on the ground.
Wait, they make memory foam beds?
Yeah, and if you're not giving your dog memory foam, like, be better owner.
Do you think they know the difference?
I don't know if they do, but I do. And I felt bad because I, you know, whatever. So we're going to make her go back to sleeping on the floor. She did not like that last night. Sat at the bed, at the edge of the bed and whined. For hours. I'm working on probably a solid like 1 hour of uninterrupted sleep from last night.
Yeah, I could tell.
It's rough today.
Lots of typos.
Yeah, it's rough today. All right. But I don't know. I don't know what that was.
That was too much power and other stuff directly into the microphone.
A lot of channeled rage going into that one. But it is Monday. We are here. We slap the play like a champion today sign and we rock and roll through the next 4 hours of 4 hours of sports talk entertainment. Let's get to it. Pretty good. Good weekend of picking NFL games for me. Got one wrong. Got the Texans-Chargers game wrong. The Chargers fell apart. And my thought at the end of that game is, wasn't Jim Harbaugh's whole thing, wasn't his whole entire thing that he was going to run like a well-oiled, disciplined machine of a football program. They melted. I mean, that was bad. They just flat out and entirely melted down, and then C.J. Stroud took advantage. It was all Chargers out of the gate. I mean, all Chargers out of the gate. Chargers drive down on the opening drive. Can't punch it in, get a field goal, but the drive went really well till the red zone. Turn around, C.J. Stroud and the Texans have the ball for one play and turn it back over. Chargers can't score again, get the field goal, 6-0, and I'm sitting there going, hey, I'm in good shape here. I had a fraternity brother that I have not seen in legitimately 15 years text me. He's like, hey, dog, how you been? I'm in Asheville. I'm like, yo, cool, all right, word, I'm coming up. So Saturday night, I drove up there. I'm listening to the game in the car on the way up to Asheville. And as I'm listening to the game, I pulled into where I was meeting him in Asheville Saturday night, right after the second Chargers field goal. It's 6-0. I'm like, they didn't score a touchdown, but like law of average is going to catch up, and the Texans got nothing going. And then I hung out with him for a couple of hours. We did some stuff around Asheville, hit a couple of breweries and whatnot. And then I got back in the car to come back with like 2 minutes in the game, and I pop in because my plan was that I was going to watch yesterday. I was going to watch the replay of the two Saturday games. Not the replay. I watched the first game live, but watched the replay of Chargers Texans yesterday afternoon. So I really wasn't worried about missing it because I knew I was going to rewatch it yesterday. I get back in the car and they're like, 32? Where did 32 come from? And the answer was, Texans threw the ball around a little bit. C.J. Stroud looked like a dog again, right? This is why I tell people, when you are watching sports, when you are analyzing sports, don't ever take the best performance and assign that as reality, but don't take the worst and assign that to reality. The truth about what a player or a team or a coach is the average of everything. And if you average what C.J. Stroud did last year and you average what that Texans team looked like this year and you take into consideration the nuance of the number of injuries, the fact that Stephon Diggs went down early in the season and was unavailable, the fact that Nico and Tank have been banged up for this team, C.J. Stroud ain't done. I've been saying that for weeks. He ain't done. He's still a good quarterback, and he showed you that a little bit. And then Saturday, a team kind of lit it up. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fact that the Packers were exactly what I told you were. A good team, but they ain't there yet. They were never on the level with the Eagles. I told you that going in. Like, this is a team that had two wins against playoff teams. It was two of the longer odds to win the Super Bowl playoff teams. And there was never really a threat from the Packers. Like, the Eagles didn't. Did the Eagles look special to you in that game? They weren't doing anything special. No. Give the ball to Saquon. Let him cook. They didn't look special to me. The Packers couldn't get to Jalen Hurts. I don't care who you give. If it's an NFL caliber quarterback and you're giving that guy that touchdown pass he had in the first quarter, he had seven literal, actual seconds to throw the football. I don't care who you got back there. You give any NFL quarterback 7 seconds to throw the football, touchdown. Like, most of the time, that's how it's going to go. The Packers just weren't ready. Now, that's a team that I think could be a good team in the future moving forward. But they just weren't there yet. What did I tell you was going to be the reason that I believed the Washington Commanders would beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night? Do you recall last Friday when I said it's going to come down to some late game quarterback magic, because that's just what these two teams are?
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened?
It was not. It was Baker Mayfield fumbled.
Yeah, and then what happened? Well, and then Jaden Daniels took them 65 yards back the other way, including a third down conversion to get them in a field goal range.
I don't think it was 65.
It wasn't 65, but he took them down.
I think it was more like 15.
They were not in field goal range. They were up against the third down. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels made something happen to get him in a field goal range.
Yeah, this was a back and forth game. Team that made the mistake. You talked about other people not looking special. Jaden Daniels did not look special. He just looked like an NFL quarterback.
Dog.
Just looked like a normal NFL quarterback. They're all good. That's why they're in the NFL. And that defense for Tampa Bay made a big stand down on the goal line, get the ball back, and then Baker fumbled a handoff. That was the game right there. If he doesn't fumble that handoff, then they drive down, they get a field goal or a touchdown, they win the game.
They had a long way to go to get there, but I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I am saying is that game, I said on Friday, was going to come down to late-game quarterback play. And the reality, and for the record, I don't want to put it all on Baker Mayfield. The whole offense was busted on the handoff fumble. And then even when they had an opportunity, they also had a misfire on a – on a run play, too. Like, the center snapped the ball a count early, and Baker turned around to hand it off, and, like, the running back was still just standing. Like, that Tampa Bay team just was out of sorts, for sure. That Tampa Bay team was just out of sorts. But you still had to have...
Enjoy it while you can. Next week, they get destroyed.
They are 8.5-point dogs in this game against the Detroit Lions.
You think that stays?
I think it's going to hover around there because I think a lot of people, and it's maybe not you, but I think a lot of people, and I know I am one of them, I think this game can get very interesting, and I'll tell you why. Detroit lost another player this past week, this time because they had a defensive back get popped for a DUI. And knocked off the team. So now they're down another guy. They don't have Hutch. They have, one of their day one starting defensive linemen available to them. Now they do have a former Pro Bowler that they added to the mix, but not a day one starter
technically.
He's
been out like the entire season, though.
Since week three or four.
Yeah, so I don't know why you're even counting now.
Because this team, the Detroit Lions, this team has a good but not great pass rush without Hutch. A good, but not great pass rush. And what does Tampa Bay have? A good pass rush. But you didn't see it yesterday. Because this is to me, I am going to put Jaden Daniels here. Jaden Daniels, to me, might be the third best under pressure quarterback in the NFL today. That's how good this guy has played. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks, including Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, that I would put. I might put Jalen Hurts in this conversation. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks that if you put them in the position Jaden Daniels was in against Tampa Bay yesterday, I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks that if you put them in the position that Jaden Daniels was yesterday, fall apart on you a little bit. Jaden Daniels didn't. I think I am going to put him as the, I'll say fourth best under pressure quarterback in the NFL today. I put him behind Mahomes, Jackson, Allen. I don't know if there's, name me another quarterback that you think is better under an actual amount of pressure. And I'm not talking pressure like with the game on the line. Although I could because he did that again. That's all this team has done is gut out last minute wins. But I'm talking against a good, effective pass rush. Name me quarterbacks that aren't Mahomes, Allen, or Jackson that you think are better under pressure against the rush than Jaden Daniels right now. Because I'm trying to think of one, and I ain't got one. It's those three. It's those three, like, top-notch dogs. Like, the three dogs. Allen, Mahomes, and Jackson. And then I think, under pressure, Jaden Daniels is next. That dude last night was up against a Todd Bowles blitz fest. That's a high blitz pressure team in Tampa Bay, and it doesn't show up in the stats. You wouldn't know it. Jaden Daniels was good under pressure all the way down to the final buzzer. And by the way, Tampa Bay is a good team. This is not me poo-pooing Tampa Bay. It's a good team. I think Jaden Daniels is him. I don't think Jalen. I told you going into the draft, Jaden Daniels was him. I told you going into the draft. Wesley says Joe Burrow. Under pressure, like a good, consistent pass rush, I might give you Joe Burrow in that discussion.
Okay, what kind of pass rush did Jaden Daniels deal with during the season? From who?
Well, he played 17 games.
Yeah, I know, but from his own
from
division?
The Dallas Cowboys and Micah Parsons. You're dismissing Micah Parsons.
I'm dismissing Dallas.
I'm not entirely. Yes. I agree. But Dallas under Micah Parsons front seven is good.
You mentioned one guy. Who else is on that team?
The entire Philadelphia Eagles front seven. I mean, again, you're asking for 17 games spread out across the entire season. I'm talking about this opponent. Last night, Tampa Bay, one of the highest blitz rate teams in the NFL, and it does not show up on the stat sheet. That's because of Jaden Daniels.
They struggle with a team from the South. I mean, from the NFC South. It was
a compelling game.
Two evenly matched teams. There was nothing that stood out in the entire game. It came down to a mistake. He's all right. He's not what you're making him out to be. He could be. He has potential.
Can I ask you a genuine question? I'm asking you this genuinely. Because with this, with Allen, with Jackson, like, I don't think, outside of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, I don't think you have handed out a superlative to a quarterback in the NFL this year. Outside of Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, I don't think I've heard you hand out a superlative to a quarterback this year.
I don't think any quarterback's play has stood out. I haven't said anything superlative about Patrick Mahomes either. I mean, he's had a good year. He has a great team. There is no quarterback that, oh my God, this is so great. Josh Allen playing like he normally does.
At an MVP level.
Yeah, I mean, whatever that means. To me, if you can't win in the playoffs and you can't win the Super Bowl, your MVP of what? The regular season.
I can't wait for my flag to get here. MVP like of the regular season.
Yeah, it's not true, though.
That wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat?
Yeah, it's not true. Well, they are, because because sports media has declared it so, other than you. And they're
dumb.
En masse.
And they're wrong.
They have declared it. So, once again, you're being a contrarian.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why Brad Johnson is a Hall of Famer, because he won a Super Bowl. He said, hang the banner, hang the jersey.
Weren't talking about Hall of Fame, we're talking about MVP.
Should have won the MVP that year. He won in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. Should have been MVP.
Who was the MVP that year?
I don't freaking know. That was like 2001.
You know what you do know? You know what you do know? You know who won the Super Bowl. You don't know who won the MVP.
I know who won the
That's
Super
how
Bowl.
Unimportant it is.
I know who won the Super Bowl because it has been a running joke for years that Brad Johnson should be considered in the elite.
Who won the MVP
5 years
ago? Who won the MVP 12 years ago? Who won the MVP 37 years ago?
I don't care.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Thank you.
I care about who wins it this year because this is the year we're talking about.
Okay. All right.
All right. We're going to talk a lot about that. We got to talk wild card games. I'll have your fan upstate text line poll question of the day coming up in the next segment. We're talking NFL playoffs and college football national championship 1 week away. The Ohio State University Buckeyes are headed back to take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And boy, howdy, I think it's going to be a slugfest. Let's talk some college football coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All right, here's your Twitter poll question. Actually, you know what? It starts at 6:30, so I'll give you it at the end of this segment.
It's not a Twitter poll.
Text poll.
Okay, I mean.
Your text poll question of the day, I will give it to you coming up in about 6 minutes because I scheduled it to start at 6:30 because I wasn't paying attention. So that's on me. So you'll get that poll question coming up in about 6 minutes, 5.5 minutes from right now. All right.
So you're not going to tease them with what it is?
I know, just that it's coming up. Stay tuned. I will tease it. I will say this. This is a question that if you participate, will allow you to have a voice into what the future of this show sounds like. I know. Very dramatic and very important.
No, people, you're not getting rid of me.
That is not the poll question of the day. It will have an impact on what the voice of the show is moving forward. So I'll give you that poll question coming up at the end of this segment.
So you'll start speaking in NPR from now on? So it's about, you said the voice, so it's what voice you're using going forward?
I did get told yesterday there was a Swamp Rabbit game at the crib. And, you know, I walk around during these games, and every now and then someone is kind enough to come up and say hello and say I listen to the show and all that. And it's great. I was talking to a fan Sunday, Mike.
Sounds right.
It was like 16 hours ago. Mike, we're going to go Mike. And Mike, you know who I'm talking about.
Wow, you mean yesterday. You talked to someone yesterday. Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago. I was talking to Mike, and very nice guy, Mike. He said, I listen to the show regularly, but I do have to turn it off sometimes. And I was like, oh, not a wrestling guy, huh? Because that's usually the complaint I get when somebody says, I got to turn it off every now and then. It's usually like whenever you nerds talk wrestling. And it's like, all right, it's not for everybody. I get it. And he said, no. He said, that's not it. And I said, what is it? And he said, I listened to you for like the last hour of the show. I listened to you in the morning getting ready and headed to work. But I listened to you in the office for the last hour of the show. And I said, that's awesome. And he goes, yeah. But you get a little loud for an insurance adjuster's office. And I was like, checks out, bud. Checks out. Completely checks out, pal. So, yeah, maybe the last hour of the show we do the NPR voice from now on so we can keep Mike listening to the show. But I do appreciate it, Mike. I do appreciate it. All right, let's look at the NFL wild card weekend. I will tell you that we'll be doing a lot of college football national championship game, obviously, coming up later on in the show. Here's what we know so far. Over in the AFC, teams 1, 2, 3, and 4 have all moved on. The two bottom tier seeds, three bottom tier seeds, the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Broncos, all three road teams lost, and frankly, all three road teams got dismantled in round one. 32-12, Chargers fall to the Texans. 28-14 in a game that really wasn't that close, Ravens-Steelers. And 31-7, Bills over the Broncos in Orchard Park, Buffalo, New York. 1-2-3-4 move on. None of the road teams. Which, of course, means that the Chargers, Steelers, and Broncos didn't deserve to go. If that's what the college fan base is trying to tell me. But, okay, sarcastic and unnecessary joke there. 1-2-3-4 move on, meaning the Texans are on the road at Kansas City. I wish you the best of luck, CJ. The Bills and the Ravens will play in Buffalo. That game is on the 19th at 6:30. On the 18th at 4:30 in the afternoon, because Chiefs are favored by 7.5. In that game on the 18th, Saturday the 18th at 4:30. Over in the NFC, the Detroit Lions caught the bye. They get the lowest remaining seed, which we now know is going to be either the Commanders, as tonight's game is the 4-5 matchup between the Rams and the Vikings. The winner of that game will be on the road at Philadelphia coming up in round two. Lions Commanders is the afternoon game. It will follow Chiefs Texans on Saturday. The Sunday NFC game at 3 p.m. is the Eagles and the winners of tonight's Rams Vikings game. The Sunday nighter will be the Bills and the Ravens. So, with that being said, of the wild card teams that are moving on, the Texans, the Bills, the Ravens, the Commanders, the Eagles, and we do obviously still have one team TBD waiting on tonight's contest. Which of those teams impressed you the most in round one? Which of those teams looks like they are the The biggest danger.
I think that's the wrong word because obviously the Texans impressed because people didn't expect them to do what they did.
I mean, not just win, but
yeah, that was impressive.
And by the way, didn't let themselves, that team could have rolled over a little bit after the first quarter of that game. By the way, did every first quarter suck? Seriously. Did every first quarter of all of these games kind of suck a little bit?
Denver would say the first quarter was amazing.
It's fair. We were 6-0 Chargers after one. It was 7-0 Baltimore after one. It was 7-3 Denver over Buffalo after one. It was 3-0 Tampa after one. And it was 10-0 Philly after one. But Green Bay looked like crap.
That's a decent amount of scoring for the first quarter.
This is not awful.
Across the entire league? That's not bad.
All right, so which wild card team, if any of them, which wild card team looks like the biggest danger to the 2-1 seats? I don't think it's the Texans. Is it the Bills or the Ravens out of the AFC?
One of the two, yeah.
No, I'm asking like which one of the two?
The Ravens.
I think I agree with you. I'm a Josh Allen guy, but I'm also a Lamar Jackson guy.
Well, it's not about Lamar. I mean, because if it was just Lamar versus, although the quarterbacks don't play each other, there is a running back for Baltimore. That's the difference.
My dude, James Cook put up, what, $120? I mean, he ain't Derrick Henry, but I'm not going to let you sit here and pretend like James Cook didn't go $120 in a tutty. And honestly, $120 and a tutty, and probably had one or two more that could have, should have, would have gone on the board. I mean, listen, I'm agreeing with you. Derrick Henry, King Henry, is absolutely him. Derrick Henry had $186. Lamar added 81 more. I believe, if I recall correctly, it is the highest ever total rushing yards for a quarterback running back duo in the playoffs. They're very good. But what I'm not going to do is sit here and pretend like Buffalo didn't have a rushing attack when they put up 210. The 210 rushing yards against the Broncos. $120 from James Cook. $46 from Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson, by the way, 81, as we mentioned just a second ago. I don't know. I agree with you so that we're clear. The Ravens feel like the bigger threat right now. Because the Ravens feel like, with Derrick Henry running this well, the Ravens do feel like 3rd-and-2's a gimme at this point, right? Like, feels like with Derrick Henry back there, 3rd-and-2's a layup. 3rd-and-2's a layup.
I don't agree with the narrative that Kansas City's been off for 3 weeks, so they're going to be so rusty.
I don't either because, again, like...
Because they're a well-coached team.
That's part of it. At the end of the day, as we've said before, like, when you are timing and chemistry predicated... When your offense relies on, but it's the thing, the Chiefs' offense is not like it's mislabeled this way very frequently. The Chiefs' offense is not based on timing and precision and all that. The Chiefs' offense is based on solid fundamentals, good executed game plan, and improvisation as much as anything else. Sincerely, like improvisation. The Ravens isn't either, though. The Ravens is predicated, and here's the thing. You said, the quarterbacks don't play each other, and you know, you're not letting. I agree with that. I want you to go back and watch the two really long Derrick Henry runs, including that 44-yarder that he broke off. If you watch those two plays, there is something happening, and Zach's in the chat right now, and I'm on the live stream, facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, if you want to come hang out and watch the show live today. Zach said, I don't know how you stop that read option. I want you to go back and watch that 44-yarder that Derrick Henry broke off for the tutty, and watch Lamar Jackson on that play. Because what happens is, and it's they run this with so much efficiency. Lamar takes the snap. He puts it to Derrick Henry. And they are so good at keeping that handoff low, right? Watch where that ball's handed off. Ordinarily, it's up around the chest, right? It's up in this area. It's up around the top of the number. They are so good at keeping that down. And why do they do that? So that ball is hidden from linebackers. If you put it up here in the chest and those linebackers can see it, obviously they got a hint. Am I attacking the running back or the quarterback? They hand that ball off, and it's such a good, effective low handoff that linebackers are screaming on both Henry touchdowns. You know why the lane was there? Because the filling linebacker saw Lamar Jackson take off, and he just runs with him. Sight unseen, don't know if he's got the ball. He just goes with him, and it vacates the area for Derrick Henry. The Ravens are so bleeping good at that that I don't think there's a team that can stop it at this point. The only question is, can you go toe-to-toe putting up points with the Ravens? And the answer for the Steelers was obviously not. Russell Wilson, by the way, 20 of 29, 270 and a pair of tutties. Not a bad day for him. Bad day for everybody else. 29 rushing yards. Yeesh. All right, talking a lot of NFL in hour number one. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
That was rock and roll. I was right. Let's go to the punk rock show.
No, that was somebody else's bed.
Let's go to the punk rock show.
Yeah, that sounds like something that's not supposed to be in there. I'll have to have a talk with them. Plus, you shouldn't have things with lyrics on it behind. That's not our standard here. So,
Cowboy Mouse coming.
Yeah.
Speaking of punk rock shows.
I heard about I saw your thing. No.
Why? Oh, Bit Brigade's coming back too.
That's more interesting to me.
Oh, dude, it's great. All right, here's our Twitter poll question of the day.
By the way, I know Cowboy Mouth is your favorite, but
best rock and roll show you'll ever go to.
Does that look like a place where I'd be comfortable?
No, it is just mass humanity all loving each other. It's just a bro fest. It's the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot have a bad time, which means you would be very happy while you stand against the wall with your arms crossed.
Standing's not a good thing for me right now.
No, that's fair. That's fair. You are coming back off the injury wagon. All right, here's your Twitter poll question. Nope, your text line poll question of the day. Football season ends in just a couple of weeks. We have the College Football National Championship on Monday. Then we put NCAA football to bed. We have the divisional round. We have the championship round. We have 1 week off, and then we have the Super Bowl. So we are effectively 4 weeks away from the end of football season. A little early for this, but I'll ask the question anyway. When football season is over, what sport would you want
to get the most attention on the show after that. Here are your options. Baseball, hacky, soccer, basketball, off-season football, or other. Those are the options. You will text. To start your text, 844-326-3663 is both the text line number and the call-in number. Text 844-326-3663 and start your text with basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, football, which is, we pretty much keep it where it is. Off-season football is the predominant conversation. Or other, and if you vote other, put the sport that you think should get the most time behind that vote. 844-326-3663. When football ends in just a touch over a month after the Super Bowl, what sport do you believe should get increased coverage on the show? Text 844-326-3663 with baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, football, if you think the answer is just stay with football and talk off-season football, or other, and include your vote after the word other. Start your text with whichever word you think. If you believe it is football, text football. If you believe it is baseball, text baseball. If you believe it is soccer, text soccer. If you believe it's hockey, text hockey. If you think there is a sport I did not list that you think should jump to the top, text other and put your word under it or your reason why. All right, we got a lot of stuff we're going to keep getting to, including more coverage of the NFL's wild card weekend. We are getting into college football in the next hour of the radio broadcast. We have talked already and asked the question, which wild card team do you think is more important? But here's the thing. There was a report that was filed by CBS Sports' Jonathan Jones, which jumped up to the big-time discussion around the sportosphere yesterday. Here is what Jonathan Jones said on the CBS Sports pregame show. So we could, according to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, we could see a restructuring of the NFL playoff format that would still see the four divisional winners get in, the three wild card winners get in, but the division winners would not be guaranteed a home game. The format shift would see the top winning percentage teams host. That would mean that if these things played out, if this weekend played out the way that it looked like it would have with a format change, you would have still seen Buffalo host. You would have still seen Baltimore host. You would have seen, however, the San Diego Chargers with 11 wins host
San Diego.
The Los Angeles. It's only been like 6 years. What do you want? All right. I'm new to this. You would have seen the Chargers hosting the Texans. You would have seen over in the NFC, the Vikings as a 14-win team, the only team they would have gone on the road to would have been Detroit if they got lined up that way. So we would reseed based on, reseed based on record. Tampa Bay would have, instead of being at the crib taking on the Commanders, Tampa Bay would have been on the road at Washington by way of Washington being 12-5, Tampa being 10-7. Where do we land on this? Because I've kicked this back and forth. The gut check reaction that I had, great one, was there should be a reward for winning the division. But the counterargument to that is there is. You're in the playoffs. You can be a 10-win Tampa Bay team and go to the playoffs alongside the 14-win Eagles, the 12-win Commanders, the 15-win Lions, the 14-win Vikings, the 11-win Packers. You can be 10-7 and go to the playoffs if you're the best team in the division, and that's the reward. Should there be a reward past that? Should you be, for winning the division, should you be rewarded with a home game when winning the NFC South took the same record that would have placed you fourth in the NFC North? It would have placed you third in the NFC East. It would have won you in the NFC West, but it would have placed you dead last in two of the four NFC divisions. Should there be the reward of a home game for being effectively, if you look at win percentage, that would have made Tampa Bay the what? Sixth best team in the NFC, but they ended up getting a home game. And had they won that game, they would have still had to go on the road, they won that game. There is a chance they could have gotten another home game, but with 10 wins. While a 14-win Vikings team would have to win three road games to get to a Super Bowl, there was a path for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to have to win two home games and a road game, potentially as the three seed, potentially three home games. If you would have seen the Lions and the Eagles both knocked out and the Bucs didn't have to play either one of them, Tampa Bay could have been as the three seed, a home team in the wild card, a home team in the divisional. If the Lions and the Eagles both got knocked out, potentially a home team in the NFC title game as the three seed. Is that too much of a reward for effectively being mediocre but in a bad division? Are we good with this?
I think it's fine the way it is. I don't know why that they think they need to mess with it. I mean, it's been this way for a while, and it's not like it's tradition. I think it works fine. I mean, you've got a couple of divisions that are down. Unfortunately, the NFC South has been really bad for a while now.
I agree. Here's why I think they're looking at tinkering with it a little bit. The Buccaneers were in the wild card round with the Rams, who were another 10-win team, the Vikings, who won 14, the Commanders, who won a dozen, the Eagles, who won 14, and the Packers. The Packers finished at what, 11? So this is a bad look.
This is a bad look for the NFL because a team didn't win as many as the other ones. So they want it to look better by having more winning teams. I think that
what the NFL is saying is we want to reward teams who have better seasons.
So they want to eliminate. They want to go to the new college model. That's in all of the divisions, isn't it? To where the top two teams go. They're wanting to do that.
No. It is going to be the same format. Four division winners, three wild card teams, right? So Tampa Bay, if we change this new format, Tampa Bay would still go. But by way of being a division winner, but having the worst record, technically speaking, the worst record in the NFC playoffs belongs to the Bucs and the Rams. The Bucs and the Rams both got in because they were division winners. Now, I don't know what the tiebreaker would have been for the Bucs and the Rams to determine who is the, you know, who would have been the lower seed. The Buccaneers and the Rams would have been the last two seed. You're in by way of winning the division. You get the reward for being an okay team in a crappy division. So you get to go to the playoffs. But we also feel like Minnesota, who played in a division in the NFC North that had three teams that had a better record than the NFC South champ. We feel like the Vikings should also be rewarded, not punished, for a 14-win season. There was, in the entire NFL, one, two, three, four. No, excuse me. One, two, three. Yeah, four teams that got to 14 wins. The Bills did not get to 14. The Ravens did not. The Texans did not. All division winners. The 14-win teams were the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Lions, the Vikings. That's it. That's the list. And so the reward for finishing the season, Lonzo, with effectively the second best record in the NFL. Third, if you include two 15-win teams, is two different spots. Tied for the best record in the NFL were the Chiefs and the Lions, both at 15 wins. The Minnesota Vikings had the second best record in the National Football League, and their reward was you got to go win three games on the road to get to the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay got a better spot, an easier path technically, to the Super Bowl than the Vikings did.
Well, the Vikings could have fixed it. They could have beat Detroit.
Sure, and that is the counter argument was, okay, beat Detroit. You don't have to worry about it. If you beat Detroit, you win the NFC North, you get the one seed, you get the bye, you are guaranteed to host every game that's not the Super Bowl, and that's a fine argument. But there is nothing that, for instance, looking at just the NFC right now, the 12-win Washington Commanders, who play in a division with the Eagles, who, again, tied for the second-best record in the NFL. The 12-win Commanders, who had to play the second-best record in the NFL twice this year, whereas the Buccaneers got to play six games against the team that was 8-9 and two teams that were 5-12. The Commanders had an empirically more difficult regular season schedule, and the Commanders had to go to Tampa, a team that they won two more games than in a tougher division, arguably speaking. Remember, the Cowboys, as much grief as we love to give them, were 7-10. They were one game off second place in the NFC South. So I think what you're looking at here is a situation where the NFL is saying, if you win the division, and it's a bleep division, you still get to go to the playoffs. However, we want to reward success for the spot that we're in. We were talking about this, you know, I've been butting heads with Lonzo. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. And Lonzo has said over and over and over, the most important thing is wins. The most important thing. I all year said, look at Carolina, trending up, trending up, trending up. And what did Lonzo say? I'll believe it when they win, right? Wins are the most important thing. Well, if you believe in that philosophy, I think you should be on board with this change. Because what the NFL is saying is winning your division is commendable, and you're going to get to go if you do, but the most important thing is wins, and so therefore we are going to reward the teams that do that the most with the best path to the playoffs.
The most talented, the team with the most wins in the NFC South
would have checked in third in the
East. Doesn't matter. Was Tampa Bay.
I agree. They get to go to the playoffs.
Right.
But they don't get to host a playoff game.
It's lame.
Is it lame just because it's change?
No.
Because I think a lot of people are looking at it based and going, I don't like change. That's a lot of what college football
was.
No,
it's not about the change thing because what if next year it's a team from the NFC South wins 10 games, wins 11 games?
What if? So what?
If everybody wins about the same, which is what they want, mm-hmm. I just think it's about the look. That's what I think about.
I understand, but I'm asking.
So they're still
what's
going.
What's the look that's bad?
They're still going anyway. So this tinkering thing, it doesn't. I don't know what it solves. What does it solve?
What it solves
I get you're saying that they reward the team, the other teams that are better than.
Here's what it solves. Two 10-win teams are hosting games this weekend, while a 14 and a 12-win team are both on the road.
You made it into the playoffs. Win all your games. That's the whole point, is to win all the way to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl.
I understand.
If you have an extra game, that's on you because one team gets a bye, and that's it. That's it.
Well, we're not talking about a bye. We're talking about home games. Is home field advantage a real thing? You're a Chiefs fan. You have to say yes.
I was going to say it depends on the team.
Okay. Home field advantage is a real thing. Even if Cody Decker and I had this conversation Saturday, then we have to run to the break. Even if your stadium's empty, home field is advantage. You don't have to get on planes. You don't have to get on buses. You get to eat your own food. You get to spend time with your wife and your kids. There are all these advantages that come with being in your city, as Big and Rich once said on College Game Day for a very long time, that I would take, and that is the reward. Not being in front of your fans. The reward is you're sleeping in your own bed in round one. And I bet there's a lot of Vikings that would love that tonight. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that moving forward. Rob Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. Oh, sorry, Sports Flash. Sports Flash.
Five of the six wildcard games have been determined in the NFL. The Houston Texans are moving on after knocking off the Chargers 32-12. Justin Herbert tossed four interceptions while C.J. Stroud had 282 passing yards. The Ravens move on with a 28-14 win over the Steelers after rushing for 299 team yards. The Bills dominated the Broncos 31-7. The Packers' season is over after a 22-10 loss to the Eagles in which Saquon Barkley rushed for 119 yards. And the Commanders finished off Tampa Bay 23-20 with a walk-off field goal. The final game is tonight when the Rams face the Vikings in Arizona. Former Patriot Mike Vrabel is now the New England head coach after the two sides reached a multi-year deal yesterday. 2021 AP Coach of the Year places Gerard Mayo, who was fired after 1 year with a 4-13 record. Make sure you tune in tonight, 6:30, as Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers.